see your name here. Here.
Yes, sir. I'm in quite a lot.
Yes. The high jump?
Yes. I don't remember. I don't think I won anything. Obviously, my mother would be too busy with a two-year-old running round to write anything down, but she came to this one. I don't remember whether they came to. There must have been one the year before. So I'd have done two, wouldn't I? Between 51 and...
Yeah.
Because when was sports day, did it say on there?
Yeah, it's got a date on it. 25th of June.
Oh, yeah, well, 1953. Obviously I started here. It'd be September, wouldn't it? When it started. So, that'd be the second one, yeah.
Riverside Playing Field. So that's down Avenham Park,
yes.
Across the tram bridge.
We didn't go across the tram bridge. We went past the what was the art school along an avenue. I've not been for years. A beautiful avenue,
mm-hmm.
trees on either side.
Yeah.
But we got changed into our sports gear in the art school, in the actual theatre. Uh-huh. And all the steps down. We come in somewhere up near the top, and we just changed in there into shorts and all of the little slight skirts.
Yeah, a uniform.
Yes, uniform.
Yeah.
And walked down. And I definitely didn't go over the tram bridge anyway. It wasn't there.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, it was there.
That's your turn. So I've only got two. That's all for you.
Thanks, lovely.
Because I don't drink tea. I'm sorry if it's either too strong or too weak.
Oh, that's lovely.
I never
Thank
know.
You.
So I just make it out, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we went and... I remember that particularly because my little sister came, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two must have been at school. My brother and my other... Veronica. Veronica, I wonder if Veronica be here. She might just be at school. Yeah, she would be.
Did you do all these different sports during the year?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. The things I remember most, because I enjoyed them the most, was the doing PE and stuff in the gym. And I cannot remember the name of the lady who was a gym teacher. She seemed very old to me at the time, but she'd probably be only about 30 or something, you know. And I cannot remember her name, and she might be, you would think she would be one of the people on here, wouldn't you, on this sports. But I cannot remember her name, and she used to do demo tours, you know, and learn to shin up a rope,
mm-hmm.
and all that. And then these window things up and down. I was skinny. I was quite thin. Going in and out and up and down these windows, going over the horse, doing short arm balance. I remember.
What's that?
If you've done it, Jim, I suppose, at school, have you?
No. I don't remember.
Short arm balance?
Yes.
How do you do that?
Yeah, the pommel thing, you know.
Oh, yes.
With handles,
yeah.
You'd jump on it and you'd do like a handstand holding your arms like that.
Oh, sounds like quite hard.
Well, I could do it. I was quite energetic.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you. I'll put it down for you, Keith. It's hot.
I'd walked school from 5 years old till the taxi started when I was eight. And that was 2.5 miles each way.
Was that in Goosnet?
Yes. Yeah, well, now you've got a bit of background off running.
Yeah.
We went to Hill Chapel.
Right.
Or St Francis Hill Chapel, a little school. Near the Horns Inn. If anybody knows, that's still going. The school's still going.
Is it?
Oh, yes. It's a very good school, country school. A Catholic school. And... a girl going, if I want to know about that, going to school at the age of five. I think I didn't start till about October Well, I should have been in September because I was in hospital with scarlet fever.
Oh.
They put you in hospital in those days, in isolation hospital. And I was only four. I can vividly remember being carried downstairs by an ambulance person. They're not like they are now, the ambulances, because they picked up another girl who was 10. And I was picked up, I was four. We're just coming up, well, five in September, you see, I'd just be five, you know. So I don't know how long I was in the hospital, but I can vividly remember being in there, an isolation hospital, full ward, to be, and nobody could visit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there, and then when I came out, I started school, didn't I? And walked it, and since I've had my own children, and they walked to school, and it was all around the corner, and the school was across the field, I could see it, and they waved to them. I wondered how on earth my mother and my dad could let me go probably a mile before I met up with any other children that were going.
Yeah.
And we went through fields. That's all you could tell me all this.
No, no, she hasn't.
No. We met the other children coming to the Goosner School, the C of A School, coming the other way to get a bit of...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Bit of rivalry.
Yeah, rivalry, yeah. So that was that. And so I put that down to being quite energetic and cycled everywhere eventually, and my dad got me a bike. Cut down, it was wartime, you see.
Yeah.
The taxi started when the war finished. I was eight. I was not quite two when it started. So yeah, I'd be about eight.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
And we got a chance to go in a taxi. And to school.
A taxi?
A taxi, which was an old ambulance converted. All you did was sit side opposite one another on a long seat at either side. And it was my dad's cousin who'd come back from the war as a dispatch rider on a motorbike. And he started up a taxi service. He started off taking people on the back of his motorbike. Yeah. And in fact, he's Veronica's godfather, actually. Him and his wife, yeah, godparents. And so he started, he was based at my grandma's on the farm where my dad worked and his brother and just about not quite a mile down the road from us where we lived. Yeah. We lived at Chingle Cottage, which is at the end of the lane to Chingle Hall, which is used to be quite famous for being haunted.
Is it still open to the public?
Oh. No. It was a playground around there for us, actually.
Yeah.
So, school days. So I put myself down. I suppose all the children in that generation were pretty fit because you didn't get all this sweet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything with sugar in the puffers or anything, you just didn't get them.
Yeah.
In fact, when I was in hospital when I was four, we got, I was in a cot, can you believe it, one of those drop-side cots, and they gave you rice pudding, which I hated, but they put dolly mixtures on top, so I ate it. So that's early days, yeah. So coming here, I failed at Hill Chapel. I was put in for this exam. We'd never had any, as far as I can remember, we'd never had any exam practice. So doing an exam against the clock, which you had to do, you know, was, so basically when they say put your pencil down, I had done about three or something, I was done about 20, you know. How did you do exams like that when, I think the scholarship went to the 11 plus.
I didn't do the 11 plus, but I've done timed exams.
Yeah, I have done since. Yes, I have done since quite a lot. But in those days. And so I failed, so they must have thought I had a brain in here and put me in for this. But it was like 2 years later, more or less.
Did you stay at the same school?
Yes,
between
you would
and
stay from 5 to 15 when you left.
Okay.
In those days, 15 was the leaving age.
But it was the same school, you just stayed at the same school rather than...
All the way right through, yeah, till okay. you left, yeah. They've done very well, a lot of the contemporaries within a few years, one way or the other, all went into business and done extremely well. One of whom was my brother's year, which was 2 years behind me, is Alston Dairy, Alan Forsher.
Oh?
Yeah. Well, she's actually a distant, sort of a half cousin or something to us, on my dad's side, yeah. And she's got cousins that are in the same little town down the road from us. They've all done well, they've all been taught at that school. There were only two teachers. An infant teacher, as I remember, Miss Gillow from the Gillow family. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Who did all the furniture people. She was a junior teacher, infant teacher. When I started school, there was somebody else. You've got me going now. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
There was a teacher who I can't remember her name. I had dimples in me. I can remember. You smelt like you have a nod when you were started school. Put your head down. And I was asleep on your desk. I don't know whether they do that now with infants, do they?
I think when I was in the infants, you could have... They had like a quiet time in the afternoon and you could fall asleep. And they'd read a book, you know, they'd read a story to you.
Yeah.
It wasn't for long, and I think it was only in the infants.
Yes.
You know, but...
Yeah. I have dimples, I can remember dimples. It was like chubby hands with dimples. I can quite remember it. It's, they had an old style fireplace in the school. This is at the chapel. With an iron fireplace, we oven, all iron, quite big fire. And we got milk, school milk. Mm-hmm. And that was warmed up in the winter. And she made cocoa, this teacher. And a coincidence that I never actually left and went here, came here, and then, you know, got on with my life and never saw Miss Gillow again till we were, my husband and I were celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary, and we went back to, we were married at that church, it's a hill chapel, and we went back, and it happened to be the weekend, on a weekend, you know, and we went to the Sunday Mass. And the priest made a bit of fuss of us, we were in the front bench and that. And in church, part way through, you greet one another and say, peace be with you, basically, and shake hands or something. And I turned round, and who should be behind me but Miss Gillow, and a nephew had brought her to that. I don't know whether it was just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She's buried in the graveyard there, actually,
yeah.
With her brother, Terry. Hello, Terry. Yeah. So that was a bit of a coincidence in my life.
Yeah.
But to see her again, she'd be delighted to see
her.
Good.
I'm going totally off.
Well, how old were you when you went to the Harris Institute?
13.
Did you say you'd gone to night school?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
That was afterwards, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I think it would be. We didn't go to night school as part of the education here then, I don't think so. So I came on the bus and it was so new to me because being brought up in the country and basically, I know my dad and my granddad had a car. We travelled a bit in a car, you know, to another church they went to. But otherwise, it was either a bike, a walk, or a bus. So we came into Preston, and I walked down Edward Street. Lads went underneath, and we went up top. And I was in B. There was one B and two B.
Okay.
I don't know whether they segregated you in education wise or what, I don't know. There was one lad in our class, I think. And when they started the very first, or one of the very first registration, when they were given, shouting out your names, Marty, on the register as present. It was to say present miss or present sir. Present miss, I think it was. they shouted out Mary. Mary, and I'm looking for this Mary kitchen. Where's Mary? I did actually look round.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody did that. Nobody.
Yeah.
Not at all. So it was quite an adventure, really, coming here. So eventually, I'm always called Magdalene, you see, in my second name. So that was one little incident. And, otherwise, I sat next to a girl called Mabel Ratcliffe. She lives in Blackburn. And we were the only two from North Preston. The only rest of them came round from Penrith and Mary,
okay.
And that obviously in Preston.
Yeah.
Had a lot of friends, really.
How did you find? You took an exam,
yes,
to get here. So who put you onto the exam? Did you know anything about the Harris before you came?
No, here? Not a thing. I really think it must have been somebody, the headmistress at Hillchapel, because I would have stayed there till I left school, mm-hmm, otherwise. Mrs. Grimble Deston, her name was. She was the head teacher. And that's what I say. I think they must have thought they had a brain cell in here somewhere. Because mm-hmm. There was one or two lads came, there was some lad, George Goynell came in my year, and he went into the engineering is a building, we ended up as a building. Passed for this. But I was not very, they didn't teach you beyond long division in maths. I was always pretty good at English. I didn't seem to have a problem with English, you know. But maths I wasn't very good at. We didn't get taught beyond long division, never got decimals or fractions or the usual maths subjects. So my auntie, my dad's brother's wife, a school teacher, she taught at English Martyrs, boys section. I don't know if she did it then or not, but she taught me, she got me up to speed with the maths. So the with fractions and decimal points and stuff like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what sort of how well I went. I did, but obviously I passed. You know, when you're a child, things are going on round you, but you're not privy to it, really. They're not telling you, are they? Mm. The parents and me godmother was very good. My dad's sister. She was excellent. When I'm thinking back now to how I was brought up, and probably the rest of the family as well, they weren't just the parents that looked after you. Your godparents, your aunties and your uncles virtually brought you up as well. The grandparents. I had only grandma, one, my mother's father had died before they got married. The other grandparents, you know, you were right in there with them, in the family.
Did Veronica say something about an aunt?
Yes.
Being...
She said that your aunt had got her into All Hallows. No, Martyrs School.
Did she? She might have had something to do with getting me here.
Well,
So
what did your aunt...
Pardon?
What did your aunt do? Had she been
here? She was working on the farm and she was doing war work, you know. She was feeding the Broughton, where the Broughton ambulance place is, somewhere around there. I can remember going with my auntie when I was quite small. She worked on the railway as well. she was doing war work, and they were like what I call dustbins, wet big things, and they were cooking for forces, I think, in outside. I can remember going somewhere in like a wood with her, and this outdoor cooking, but probably some non-living exercise or something, I don't know. You don't have to do it when you're little. You just go and watch and then all. And she also, she's a Nan Kitchen, Annie. She's called Annie, but she's like to be called Nan, I'll finish up. And she was only about, she's younger than my dad by about 2 years. So when I was born, my dad would be about, 25 or 26. So my auntie were a couple of years younger than that. And of course, when you've got nephews and nieces, I suppose, you take a lot of notice of them, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, she took us all over. Yeah. What did Veronica say about her then?
She said that she'd gone to the head or gone into the school at English Martyrs saying that she was actually Veronica's godmother.
Yeah.
When she wasn't actually.
No, she wasn't.
Because she was your godmother. And somehow arranged, got permission for Veronica to go to English Martyrs.
Right.
Sort of without the parents having to do that for her.
My mother, I don't think my mother was very pushy in that respect. My dad was busy earning a living, I think.
Yeah.
He was farming.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't go into the, he didn't get called up because of his farming. And his younger brother was too young.
Yeah.
He was only about 15 or something when I was born, never mind.
Yeah.
And, so we were very fortunate to have our father with us all through the war.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't know at the time.
No, no.
You don't know at the time because you're just the kid, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the rest of it, do you? Not know anything really. So my auntie Pauline worked at English Martyrs. Well, I wonder if she was there when Veronica was there. Might have been. All four of us, I'm the eldest of four. I came here, my brother went to St. Ignatius. Veronica obviously went to English Martyrs, and my younger sister went to Brownage St. Mary's.
Okay.
So none of us went, to the same school.
Mm.
But we all got out of Hill Chapel.
Is it the little chapel on the main road in Goosner?
No, that's the Wesleyans. My cousin and his wife are quite busy there with her. He's a Catholic actually, but he married a Methodist, and they're well into. They do a lot of good work there. So to go on with experience of this place, I really enjoyed the gym, and doing all sorts of stuff. I had a couple of roles. Did you ever do that when you were at school?
I wasn't very good at gym then, but we did have a gym room with the bar, like wooden
window things.
Window things that you climb up.
Yeah, and you're going in out.
Beam would come out, and there'd be ropes hanging off that.
I don't know. I just enjoyed that, and my dad said to me, "I was saying I can shin up a rope. The rope about that thick, with a great big knot at the bottom." And he said, right, he said, show me. And they had a great big thick rope, and they threw it over a beam in the barn at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And said, right, go back, lad, in. And sat on the beam. And it was very high. And I think I was strong enough to do that.
Oh. Well, how did you get down?
Well, you just couldn't. Oh, you were sure not to slide because you'd burn your hands.
You
don't like that. Or very slow, I don't know, I can't remember, but I came down without doing any damage. From here, did they take people round to the mills? this pupils just looking at the mills, cotton mills at the time. This is 1951 to 1953. I have a memory of going into a cotton mill and seeing all this cotton. Also, the other memory is of going to the public hall to a concert, and it was either one of these Sir Malcolm Sargent, something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was the Liverpool Philharmonic.
Okay.
It might be worth, you might have records of stuff like that.
We've not come across it where people were sort of like taken out to places as part of the course. Something of that chap we talked to earlier in the week was saying that it was in Guild Year in 52.
Sorry?
In Guild Year in 1952.
Yeah.
That public could come in and have a look around.
Oh, yes, I remember that. I was typing away.
Okay.
I was in the typing pool, in the typing room, typing. Now, that's one of the very best things that I've ever been taught, apart from driving a car. for the most useful touch typing on an ancient imperial. Have you got any of these in a museum anywhere in Europe? These old typewriters.
I've seen them in museums. But
imperial, and what was the other one? There was another one. Olivetti, was it? Or something. Oh, there were newer, perhaps. Because I went up the road and I was doing the typing there eventually, you know. I was in one on an open day, sat in typing, and the people were coming and watch me typing. And they, you know how they taught you to, they quite, I don't know what it was, it's, I suppose even with you, while you're doing it, the Royal Air Force Fly Past March was played. The one I remember because it comes on Remembrance Sunday things, doesn't it, on television.
Yeah.
Dum 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 dum. That's me.
Okay.
Yeah. They get us to type. And I can't remember the typing teacher's name. Who taught us typing? I think it was a lady. It was a miss somebody who was very, very well. So, yeah. So that was another thing. Has anybody told you that? The music.
No, but Pam and Bunty, because they were interviewed together.
Oh, were they?
They said that they weren't allowed to look down.
No, that's right. They were covered. They had little covers on the
it was on the actual keys, was it?
They were covered.
Oh.
Yeah, they had little covers.
And they were looking up at something, I seem to remember, weren't they? And but they didn't mention the music, I don't think.
Maybe they didn't do it then. She was a year behind me.
Okay.
They might have stopped it and the records had got broken or something.
Yes.
Well, I think it had all come from military. Yeah. And some of these people have been in the military, won't they?
Yeah.
And teachers.
You said about the maths teacher. What other subjects did you do?
Well, we did maths, English language, English literature, shorthand typing, commercial correspondence, geography, did I say history, PE, and games, basically, as far as I can remember, yeah. But all of it was new to me because we did games at primary school, but most anything else and the maths. And I'll tell you what, another thing, my mother thought you were lazy and not working if you were reading a book. Opposite to now, isn't it? Total opposite.
Yeah.
So I did, I studied Prester John, a story.
What was it called? Sorry?
Prester John.
Prester,
P-R-E-S-T-E-R,
right.
John. And it was somebody in South Africa in a mining industry. Whether it was a a story or a kind of a, I don't know, somebody's story. I've no idea, but I can remember it was a Kimberley mines.
Okay.
Diamond mines, I think.
Yeah.
Or gold, I don't know it. Yeah. And I didn't understand half of it, but I've and the other one, the other stuff were to read, I did a bit of Oliver Goldsmith. Oh, plays.
Okay.
We did plays. And some of the lads were in, obviously, and I don't think I took part in any of the plays, but we were watching them. And there was She Stoops to Concrete, you know that one?
Yeah.
Is that Oliver Goldsmith? Or somebody?
It might be. Might well be.
I don't know. That'll be
so good. You're performing the plays? So
somebody was performing them, yeah, and I was watching, but we'd to know it for some reason.
Okay. But not like a drama club or something?
Well, I can't remember that. I think it was part of the English literature, probably, side of it.
Okay.
Yes.
We would study a play.
Have you not anybody mentioned that? Mm-hmm.
And go and see it. If we were studying a play in English literature, we'd go and see it. Maybe it's that sort of thing.
Well, it was in here in school. As far as I know, it was a theatre in here.
Were the performers, were they students?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Young lads and I can see the problem on the stage. And it was something called She Stoops to Conquer, which was way above my head somewhere. All very new to me. But English language, I didn't seem to have a problem with that. I could, we were taught to write all commercial correspondence. And we got books. They must have been books from before the war. Stuff with really flowery, you know, Your Servant and all that stuff. Your something servant.
Your obedient servant.
You know, instead of saying yours sincerely or yours truly or whatever. We didn't put truly, yours faithfully. French, I've forgotten French. Didn't know French. And Miss Burstow.
Yeah. Mm.
Taught French, you remember.
Yes.
Somebody else mentioned
yes, because I've looked her up and there's no W on the end, so it stuck in my mind. Mrs. Burstow.
Oh, on there. Yeah, I think she was working here before she married, as far as I know.
Oh, right.
Now, have you ever had any? Vera Nowell was, three-legged race, or whatever they called it.
Is that the Siamese race?
Siamese, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, they wouldn't call it that now.
No, they wouldn't, would they? But no, I saw it written down on here.
It's
a
three-legged race to me, but you fasten two legs together and off you went.
Mm. There you go. Yes, Phenol and then Kitchen.
Yeah. I can't really remember some of these others. But one or two, I think, went up the road as well. I worked there for that best part of 8 years until I got married. And when I did get married, I came back for a bit because the farm wasn't ready. They were doing up the farmhouse and the landlords. And I'd moved in, we'd gone to live with my in-laws because my house wasn't ready for a few months. So I asked them if I could come back to work because I've twiddled my thumbs. I came back for a few months and I was like dog's body, you know, any little job wants doing. But I've still got the same wage.
So
excuse.
Okay, right.
Yeah, sorry, I've gone.
Yeah. When how did you get the job at Askew's? Because some people have said that employers came in. But others don't remember that.
Oh, I do, because I got a job at, I think it was bathroom company, Webbs, was it? Is there a Webbs? Was there a Webbs somewhere around this area of Preston, not very far away? I think they did bathroom, they wanted a little girl for the office, you know, office little Bob. And I went for an interview with two other girls from here, and sat there, and a chappie, we were sort of sat opposite one another, three of us in a row, and this man interviewing us, and he was asking, I've never forgotten this because it was so unusual, asking us questions. And he looked at me, he looked at each of us, asked a question, he looked at me, asked me a question, and the girl next to me answered. And I sort of went, I didn't interrupt her. And it happened more than once. She must have been nervous, jumping in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was, but I tend to go quiet. Mm-hmm. And who should get the job? Me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about, it was very little money. Obviously, I think it cost, I don't know how much it cost on bus, because we got school tickets or something, we got some school. I don't know how it got paid really. I think it was parents sort of that, they really didn't have any input to that. But the teacher, and I can't remember which one it was, probably the head, looked at the wage on offer and he said, by the time you've travelled from Goosner and paid your bus fare, it's not enough. So he turned it down for me.
Oh.
The head here?
Well, whoever it was here in charge of the... Yeah, turned it down for me, so I didn't go. It was, you know, in those days, 10 shilling was a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if you lost a note or any money, well, it was a big issue, you know. Because money was more value than it is now. Yeah. A lot more value, you know. So I didn't get it, so I ended up writing letters. I could always get a reply to me. The leading post, I was always looking for juniors. And of course, as soon as I thought I'd come here, you were in, basically. It was a good...
Yeah.
I didn't realise at the time, but I got a lot of... but, you know, sorry, somebody better than me got the job. So I spent the summer with this auntie Nan that Veronica's mentioned. Yeah. She was working at Fulwood School, Cadley Causeway School, where, and they did dinners for all the outlying country schools in those days. As well as for their own pupils. And so in that summer, this auntie of my godmother, took me there, because obviously I'd finished, I'd left.
Yeah.
But they were still in school.
Oh, okay.
So I spent quite a lot of happy times because I got me dinner. Serving up dinners to school children, you know. And helping in kitchen with these big containers full of spoiling them.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And then, who was it? Same auntie. Must have been looking around for him. If somebody wants an office girl here, I'll ask you. Whether she knew the lady that interviewed was called Miss Craig. Fierce woman. You were still like in school mode, you know, you're brought up to do as you're told, basically, by your elders, you know, if you like, so it's a bit different. I got that job because of my handwriting, because they wanted a, and it was what they call follow-up papers from orders from librarians. They sold to librarians all over the world, all over the empire, I suppose,
yeah.
Africa and all over. I can still remember names of places. And obviously my auntie took me for this interview, and I felt like I was still a school kid when I was 15. And this lady looked at my hands, oh, you've got clean fingernails. Have you got a clean hanky? Yeah, I have a clean hanky in my pocket, popping one. Trusted me on my handwriting, and I got the job.
Wow.
And this was probably September, you know, it was getting later in the year, July, I don't know exactly when I started now. So I was coming to the same place almost.
Yeah.
But I started pushbacking it and partly backing. There's a door, I think it's still there. On what road is that? Marsh Lane, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I used to push me back in there and at the canteen. And I push back it here every day, push back it back. And sometimes I stayed to do night school come here. Typing, get a bit better at typing and shorthand and stuff. I did that for a bit. Then I went to Glover's Court and did basket work, which was a bit of a nice thing to do. But the typing, I mean, I would start. Also, I think it made my fingers really strong, because since then, I mean, I was quite old. I started learning piano. I've already been learning piano for... I used to go to a dancing class, Monica went as well, to a ballet and tap at Broughton. And the teacher, the lady that played the pianist came, and she was a piano teacher. So I liked to, classical music, she played for us to do ballet, you know. And I went to her for a bit, until I started going out with lads and then in my teens, and then that went. But I've thought about it since, because some people can't move all their fingers, can they?
Yeah.
You know, they can, they're not as dexterous or something. So the typing, I think, doing these really hard.
Yeah.
You're really, and I'm only 13 when these machines move. That's just a thought. Yeah. That, because I do a bit of piano, but not much now. I've done it for about a year. To grade 5.
Well,
I'll be bringing up my kids.
Very good.
So that's another side level. I'll have a look what I've written.
What did you think of the uniform?
I thought it was quite nice.
Yeah.
I like the pattern, the material for the girls' dresses. My mother made the dresses with a white colour. And I have to try and get round my brother, he lives at the, he's got everything's in there, in that house where we jingle cottage, he's a single man. And I'm trying to see if I can get in there to look if there's anything. Because when my mother was the last one to die, there was a lot of stuff going on and we really didn't get to go in to get, we were supposed to get a lot of stuff out of the house at the time. But it didn't happen, and you know, all the history's there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So this is the sort of thing where my mother's decided that she didn't want that, took it out to me. Yeah. Otherwise, I didn't really know I had that until they had a rubbish. Mm-hmm. So there's things. So it's done me in good stead coming here, actually. Because I don't know where I'd have been if I'd have passed the 11 plus. I'd have been at one of the convents, I think. I know they sent me to, I think it was my auntie again. It might have been my auntie Pauline who taught me maths as well. So it was my auntie by marriage, the school teacher. They got me, they did a lot for me, really. When I come to think, well, I look back. I was entered into the Reverend Mother's exams. I don't know whether it was Winkley Square or Larkhill or both. But again, I was not an exam person. Yeah. I've passed everything since then. Any exam I've passed since. I'm not a swell daddy, but you know, you learn. I think it was here. It was here. I got one of my night classes. Did I go here? I went to Preston College to do more English. I've got an O level since in English language, and then I did one in English language. I went for an A level, but came out with an O level in English literature. Obviously, not my bit. But they gave me an O-level. And they gave me a leaflet, I think I have it somewhere, a booklet, on how to address exams, how to get yourself, how to do exams.
Yeah.
That was very useful. So, I've done all sorts. I've thought we've farmed for 8 years after I got married with my husband. We still got the husband as well. Yeah, well, you know, we're getting to that age, aren't we?
What kind of farm is it?
A dairy farm. It was a relative of Bill's dad, my husband's dad, whose farm was coming up for let, and he put our name down before it even got engaged. Must have thought while we were together, wasn't it? In those days, you didn't obviously live together before you were married. We went to look round it one Saturday. Actually, the Saturday we got engaged, we got so you can go and have a look round this farm at Thornton Cleavers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, tiny farm, lovely house. The thing, the style of house that children grow. Window, door in the middle, and chimney, you know, just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the door was yellow, which I liked.
Yeah.
It wasn't ready when we got married. It should have been, but it wasn't. So I didn't move into it till about four months after we got married, which was 4 or 5 months something. But they'd done it up and it was like modern, and they took gas lamps out.
Mm.
Gas lights.
Yeah.
Hello. Fireplaces up to the ceiling. Took them out. Don't know what they did with them. And put tiled fireplaces in one at each end of their house.
Yeah.
Living room, sitting room.
Yeah.
It was a dream and an adventure. You know. And we started off with no cattle but one. My father in law gave us a Jersey cow that was in calf. And Jersey milk in those days was a premium for the cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was cream. I've noticed cream isn't cream anymore, is it?
Oh, is it not?
Colour.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever noticed?
Yes, it's paler, isn't it?
And it's white. Don't know what they do at it. Well, the cream, the colour
comes from that, doesn't it? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And obviously being old enough to remember it like that. Yeah, so it was... So that was nice to go into that, and with three children while we were there. One were born in Blackpool. We had to go into the first baby, you know, into hospital and that. When I look back, that was a bit of a hairy experience. I was pregnant. And I think they call it preeclampsia now. And I went in hospital. I went into maternity place. And was it all going on there?
We can draw a veil over it.
And there again, ignorance is bliss. It's, you know, the happier you are sometimes.
Yeah.
And I had to go in just before my due date. And for bed rest.
Mm.
So that was at Thornton, when we lived at Thornton. And my eldest son were born, and it was fine. Everything was fine, and finish up. And the year after, I had my next one at home. And that was nice, having a baby in your own house. And Bernard had walked, my eldest lad was walking. Walked to 9 months. And he was very handy that because he had to carry him. And then my next second daughter were born in that same house. And we were only in there for maximum 5 years. So when it came up to 4 years, we were looking for somewhere else. We got one at Clyton on Brock, right on the roadside on the A6. And we farmed that dairy farm again, but we we had a milk round in Thornton. We built up ourselves. And I used to go around with baby at Carrycock collecting money on a Friday, you know.
Did you use any of the things that you learned here
in
helping on the farm?
Very much so. Yeah. All the commercial correspondence, the bookkeeping and accounts. And we had a very good a young fellow that had just trained up as an accountant, and he helped as well. He said, you know, how to work with cheques and that. He kept cheques for your records for everything, made it easy. We never made any money. We never got to pay tax. In all the time we were farming, so that tells you something. Yeah. Yes, all that came in useful because my husband didn't know. He knew how to farm, but he didn't know how to do the accounts. Mm. You know, and I'm still doing now. Yes, but all that, yes, very much so. If I had to come here, I don't know where I'd have been. I'd have been probably in a factory somewhere. You know, weaving, doing whatever. Mm.
I think you said you came back to do
I think it was shorthand. I was not very
fast. You carried on?
I carried on for quite a bit, and I can't think who the teacher was. It was a lady.
Is this when you were at Askew's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. I did quite a lot in art school for a long while because I just felt I should know more, if you know what I mean. It's kind of a continuation. Because 2 years, when you weigh it all up, isn't very long, is it?
No.
In which to learn French, for instance. French come in handy. I couldn't speak a word when I came out of here, but I knew all the verbs and I could write letters in French. We had to write commercial letters, you know, French. And we were doing a bit of translating backwards and forwards, French and English. But after that, I never ever used it, French, until long after I'd got my kids had grown up, and I got the opportunity to go on holiday with one of my sons and his wife and kids in France with a caravan. It's only in about 1999 or something like that, 2000, it's not that long ago. And I thought, right, if I'm going to France, we're going to have to. Cause my husband doesn't know French, my daughter-in-law did. She was very good at French. But she wasn't happy speaking it very much, but she could. She was quite. We kind of complimenting one another. She could do all the writing, and she did all sorts. Could be brought down, didn't we? And I went for some lessons in Garstang. There was somebody doing conversational French, that was the word. And there was a big class of young uns and old uns, a lady again, teaching, and I went in daytime and learned it. Went out to ask for a glass of beer in the bunch of girls, stuff like that. And that was fun. So when I went with them, when we broke down with a toddler and a baby, basically, with us, with their two kids. And Belinda says to me, you go and ask for emergency services, you know, for breakdown. So we get this thing. You'll have been to France, won't you? We were on the main road. It was red hot weather. Two caravans and car. And I crossed over to the other side where there was like these things like the M1 ships. The phone was in the emergency phone. And I picked it up. And somebody went, blooming phone, right loud. And I went, oh, God. And I managed, I couldn't do it now. I'd have to go back and revise. It was good fun. And I told him where I was, where I was, because there's a number on the place, you know. We knew where we were and what would happen. And between Franglais, you know, between the little and French. And they said they knew it, they would come really quick. Took us to our campsite we built, and we were there. Entertainment for the afternoon that day. But you see, there again, I wouldn't have known French because we didn't learn teach it at the primary school.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd have no reason basically to go down that route, you know. But the other one, I don't know, it was my youngest daughter became a nanny and went to work in Belgium and in France. And while she was there, I was working at the time on a part-time job, and she rang up one day and said, "Mum," she says, "me family's going off, I think they were going to America, the Americans, and they wanted me to have a holiday like next week." And I said, "Well, it's a bit short notice to be booking a holiday, can my mum come?" Oh, I said, yeah. And I've just got my passport to go with this auntie, Nan, on a cruise somewhere with her. Well, she was a good auntie to have, I can tell you.
She's a legend, isn't she?
And I've only just got a passport, so I said to her, "Oh, when is it?" She's only going for a week. There's some family and taking child with them, you see, and some family, something going on in America with her parents. And so Ruth was, I said, "Right, I'll see what I can do." And I managed to, we've just got the Daily Mail. I'm going on a blinking tangent now, aren't I? We just started buying the Daily Mail, and it had a big thing in for you could book for 3 months ahead for very little money. Travels to anywhere in Europe, basically. And so I got, I don't know if that was the first time or the second time now, but I went to Belgium first. Of course, there's part French there, aren't they? And that came in very handy.
Yeah.
Again, I was accused of being a local. I know. I was in a shop, trying to use you.
Yeah.
My daughter knew like German and French, so she could speak a bit of, but she didn't use it that much. I was in a shop somewhere in France or Belgium now. These two visits, I went twice, similar thing, short notice. One was, she was working in Brussels, and the other one was, she was working in Paris. And so my French came in handy, but this shop, I was asking the price of some nice thing I wanted to buy. This man, it was a man, surely. And he told me the price at such a speed, I couldn't take it in. So I said, "Polly, we're all there." And he says, "Oh, I thought you was a local, maybe." That's another little, somebody Lancashire French. Yes, French came in handy. In fact, anything that you learn here came in. It kind of makes you, doesn't it? Yeah. So what else? So don't have to go. Yeah, Mr. Griffiths, did he do history? Mr. Griffiths. Mr. Cobham, maths. Mrs. Burstow was French. I don't know who the typing teacher was, or who the shorthand teacher was. I don't know whether the shorthand teacher was the one I went back to at night school. Did a bit of night, a few of them. And they're on here now. Who's the head teacher?
Was it Mr. Naylor?
Yeah, Mr. Naylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if he was the one that took maths. I thought it was Mr. Cobble. Somebody will know, won't they? Mm. TVs, and they probably were to talk some of these, talk the boys.
Mr. Tukey.
Oh, yes, yes, we've heard of Mr. Tukey.
Really, did you come here?
No, we've heard of some of these teachers. Some of them,
yeah, from one of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have
other esquires after them, haven't they?
Yes.
Did you have much chance for any kind of extracurricular activities, or was it just you had to get on the bus back home?
Bus back, in my case. Yeah. I can't remember doing anything after school, you know,
Was there a canteen or anything here? What did you do at lunchtime?
There was a canteen.
Yeah.
I remember the canteen. I can smell it now. Cabbage, boiled cabbage. Anybody else mention that?
I can't remember.
School dinners again, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you've mentioned that. I've got a very vivid memory. With those long tables like this, full of kids. Windows going on to, I think it must be a railway or something. And on the window ledge, they always put the puddings out. It was usually something stewed with custard on. And when you got it, it had flecks of soot.
Oh, no. Blown in from the window.
Well, through the window, from, I presume it was the railway or some industrial chimney. That's a vivid memory. The other one is chewing your blotting paper, making little things and firing them at the ceiling. See if it'd stick with ruler. Done that, have you? Ruler.
Yeah, we used to do that at school.
I used to get, I got lines for not wearing. Oh, yes. Many times. You take your hat off, didn't you, when you were out? We were out, we must have gone out of school at some stage. Must have been allowed out. Because I got lines for not wearing me out. It was a berry, and then somebody had a little Panama thing. We said, I can't remember wearing, I don't forget where I put me in. And you know, I must wear my hat when I'm out. 100 lines, you know. And you're writing, that's about to wear a lunch, right? Because I'm writing, quick
yeah.
writing, yeah. But I got fancy getting a job for a good handwriting. They could read it, not know, like a doctor's. Yeah. Well, I don't know anything else to tell you, really.
Okay. Was it Elaine who said she remembers putting a berry on the lion's head when they left? You know, the lion, griffin-type sculpture that's on the main doors?
Yeah.
Yeah, she recalled that.
No.
Put your berry on the lion when you left.
Oh, did you?
They did. What year was she laying there?
Yeah, they'd be glad to get out. So I worked at James Askew until I went to work and got married and then. I think I've told you most of the stuff really, a bit with extra.
Okay.
I've got something to show you today.
I've got a photograph of your name in the annual report. I've got it on my phone.
That's my past coming back to me, is it?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you if you've got any school photos. Did we ever have a class photo at all? I can never remember ever seeing one.
Have I never? No. No, that's odd, isn't it? I don't recall anything.
No.
And is it true that the boys and girls never met?
That who?
That the boys and the girls never met.
Oh, we didn't. Never met. This must have been the only time I noticed that there's boys.
Did you have separate lunch times or something?
I can't remember having any boys in with the refactory, we called it. It was called the refactory. Have you heard that before? Has anybody told you that? Just come to me, refactory. And it smelt of boiled cabbage. It was massive. I don't know whereabouts in the school it was. Obviously somewhere in that old section.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
The other thing I've from school days, it was the very first time I had ever seen, and I presume it was an Indian.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah.
we had to go to an office to get a new pen or pencil or whatever had worn out. Yeah, I don't know if I've told you before.
No.
They were very skinny with the pencils. And obviously there were all these other students coming from abroad after war. Well, in the after war, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember seeing this man walking in a massive turban. He might have been from, like, China, or I don't know, East, you know.
Yeah, India,
Africa.
India or somewhere.
India or somewhere, yeah, and a big turban on the, you know.
Oh, okay.
The whole thing, and they were black.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen a black person in my life before.
Yeah.
They were just walking along the corridor, and they went, you know. And so I never knew when there was a, the B1 and B2, there must have been an A1 and A2. So there'd be, well, so, 100 odd children coming in every year, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all new to me, every bit of it. Every bit. And the hockey, I like playing hockey, but getting the uniform, the kit, you know, the kit.
Yeah.
Everything was second hand. I had second hand, you know, duck pads, put on your shin pads, shin pads. Yeah. I was never a goalie. I was very good at running. I was up the left wing.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing and bullying off and what, and that sort of stuff. Did you play hockey?
Yeah. I wasn't very good. I liked it when we did it indoors. We had an indoor sports hall, so we could, and because the floor of that's completely smooth.
Yes.
It's a lot easier.
Oh yeah. You
than on the grass.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, it was all on the grass. I was in Tom Finney's left wing thing. He was a Tom Finney. He was left wing on football, weren't he? I watched him a few times. Yeah. So it was a very good experience for me, really. I didn't seem to have any problems at all. I was quiet at back in class. But my friend that I mentioned before, Mabel Ratcliffe, she's now Mabel Heaton. She lives in Blackburn. She's a multitude older than me. And we made friends here. And I know she used to go on holiday with her parents up in Lake District, and I think she paid for me to go on a bus from Starchild Square to Preston, where that is now. It's the only one of these university things. Could be. There was a bus company, and they did tours up to Lake District, and I went for a day out to visit her Lake District there. And we've stayed friends since. Some years ago, when the art school, I can't think how many years ago now it was, I found out that it was being closed.
Mm.
And I asked somebody here, I don't know who it was now at this stage, if we could have a look round it, because it was where I obviously got changed
to
go to the sports. You know, and I must have gone every week, I think.
Yeah.
At Lads and the Football, no doubt. And I was interested to see it, so we got a tour around, and Mabel came on that tour.
Oh, good.
And then several other people from all over, you know, came and had a look around, but it was a sad, very sad looking in there.
Yeah.
What are they doing with it now?
It's been. They are doing something with it. I know that. I know that somebody's bought it, and there was an open day a couple of months ago, and I went down, and the architect had some drawings. So it's going to be. It's a bit of a community centre exhibition space. So I think they're going to have almost like a bit of a hotel at the back with the rooms. But I know it is in a dreadful condition now, but I think there are plans to do something with it.
Yeah. So the people who bought it have let it go to rack and ruin, have they, really? Or have they not done anything with it?
Seems like it.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of these old... I spent a lot of time, even when I was at Askew's, we used to get an hour and a quarter for lunch, and I'd bring something my mother made for me and eat in the canteen and then go out around parks. I went one for going around shops. I spent a lot of time also going into the Harris Museum. Looking around there, very quiet. Nobody bothered you. You just went round. Did you do that?
Yeah.
At library, we didn't go to library much, but reading room. I don't know if it's still there. They've done been working on it.
It looks like they're taking down the scaffolding at the moment.
Are they?
On the outside, anyway. It's not opening till next year, though. I don't think.
Is it not? It's because I avoid coming into Preston because of the parking and the. Traffic. They're shutting it down here on this road, closing it for normal traffic.
Yeah, Friar Gate is now closed off.
Has that gone?
Yeah.
Totally bus.
Yeah. It's pedestrianised now, most of it.
Is it? Altogether?
Yeah. I think we've probably grilled you enough.
I think
so I'll come.
Aww.